makes them such an important part of the community that I deeply value KPFT. It's been maybe the most important station to me in my career and journey. I'm really grateful to you guys for existing and doing what you do.
Hayes Carl. Listen for his music and other local artists here on KPFT.
This is KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM and FM HD1.
And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender community. This is Queer Voices. This week, Deborah Moncrief Bell has a conversation with Taylor Mabry about the annual Kindred Spirits Dance coming up next Saturday.
Actually, it was kind of overwhelming and beautiful at the same time. It was so much community going on, so many women. They were so happy. They were like enjoying each other's company, fellowship, and the fun and the music and the lights. It was just such a great experience.
Then Deborah talks with Terry Fuller Waymire, the organizer of Galveston Pride, which is happening this weekend. We have Brett's community calendar for September. And Brett talks with New York drag artist Sherry Vine.
I could not sustain doing that voice for 34 years, but in the beginning, I was always in character in the voice. And then the Vine came from, there's a building on Vine Street just above Hollywood Boulevard called the Sherry, and it literally looked like a whorehouse. And I was like, oh my God, that's perfect. Sherry Vine.
And we have news wrap from This Way Out. Queer Voices starts now.
This is Deborah Moncrief Bell, and I'm talking with Taylor Mabry of the Montrose Center. Taylor is going to share some information about what is considered by some to be the social event of the year for lesbians and other women and their friends in Houston. Taylor, welcome to Queer Voices.
Hi, so glad to be here.
I understand that Kindred Spirits reunion dance actually played part of you becoming involved in community. You want to share what your journey has been?
When I was doing the interview process, Malia had invited me. She is one of the directors of development. She had invited me to the dance, and I hadn't started my journey yet with Montrose Center. So I wanted to see what it was all about, and Kindred Spirits was the first opportunity for that.
And what did you think?
Actually, it was kind of overwhelming and beautiful at the same time. It was so much community going on, so many women. They were so happy. They were like enjoying each other's company, fellowship, and the fun and the music and the lights. It was just such a great experience.
Let's explain a little bit what we mean by Kindred Spirits reunion dance.
Kindred Spirits was initially a nightclub here in Houston, catered to lesbian women back in 1980. Marion Coleman had overseen all of that. And then I believe they closed down, but they wanted to continue the fun. So they had a party, and then the party ended up transferring over to the Montrose Center. We take over a lot of events that maybe the original organization decided that they didn't have the ability to do so anymore. So we kind of like usher it into our programming, and we kind of wanted to honor that legacy. And we created the Kindred Spirits Dance, which is also the Kindred Spirits Reunion Party. So that's how it initially already started. And it's been going on for quite a while now.
Tell me how this event is set up. It's going to be at the
At Bayou Place downtown. It's going to be in their ballroom. The way we have it set up is like there are tables. But the fun thing about that is that the people that buy the tables, we do like a table decorating kind of contest. And the person that wins ends up getting a ticket to the event next year, which is nice. Not a ticket, a table. So that's nice to get to come back. And basically, it's just creating more community and more events.
What kind of decorations have people used in the past?
This is my first year with the center. So I wouldn't necessarily know. I saw a lot of decorations last year. They go all out. The only thing that I know that we can't do is like glitter or confetti because of obvious reasons. But they pretty much go. They don't hold back. They really put all their all into it, and it's really kind of beautiful that although it's a little competitive. And just to see where their mind goes off with the creativity is really beautiful.
And people can take home the decorations. In fact, they're encouraged to take home the decorations at the end of the night. Is there a dress code?
Not necessarily a strict dress code. We just ask that you come in and be festive and be who you are. If you want to come in drag, by all means, please come be festive as you are.
The announcement says snappy business casual, and I
Yeah,
have no idea what that means.
that's what. At all times, we want people to come in and be themselves and be how they feel comfortable. Since it is a big, a nice event, it's in a ballroom, we would like you to put just the extra oomph into the look. The main concern is that you come and you feel comfortable and you dress in celebration of the event and basically just celebrate yourself. So if that reads to you, snappy business means that you come in a full ball gown, well, we would love to see it. If that means you're gonna wear a 70s tuxedo with the ruffle trim, do that as well. We just want you to have a great time, you being the public. Have a great time, dress to the nines, whatever that means for you.
And a lot of local businesses donate prizes that are given away in a raffle.
This year, we're doing something different. We're gonna have a silent auction as well as a raffle. And I have asked some of my drag queen friends, they're going to dress up in 70s and 80s garb, and they're going to go around and sell some of the raffle tickets to try to promote more involvement in the raffle itself. So it's going to be really fun.
And DJ Lotus Inferno will be playing tunes from the 70 and 80s, so it will invoke some of that original spirit.
At first, when I went the first time, I felt like, oh, well, I don't know if I'm going to like this because I'm so far removed from that time period. But when I went, I was dancing so much, and it was just so enjoyable. And it's not, sometimes people when you say that it's like a period dance, period meaning like the time period at that time, you think I'm not gonna really connect with that, but it's really a universal time period because the music's so fun.
That's right. We have the best music.
Yes. And you just can't help but get involved and tap your foot and want to be involved in the dancing and stuff. So yeah, this is it's really fun.
And there was a lot of energy here in Houston. It was shortly after things like the caucus and the beginning of the Montrose Center, which was originally the Montrose Counseling Center Legacy, which actually started out of the STD clinic. And now look at it. It was really about community. It was about connections. It was about fun. And that coming together, I hear people talk about it all year. People seeing people they haven't seen in a long time really is a reunion that way.
Yeah, we have like oddly enough, I mean the dance is coming up. It'll be September the 7th. And so tables are running out, which is great. We want people to come, we want people to get involved, and we want them to enjoy themselves.
I'm talking with Taylor Mabry of the Montrose Center, and you're with Community Events and Engagement. What is the title?
My job has kind of like switched and moved around, but mostly I am over community events and special events that the Montrose Center puts on. So the title doesn't necessarily denote what I do, but I'm over community events and the special events that we do.
What a fun job to have.
It's a lot of work, but I love it. Especially since I know that all the hard work is put towards something good and for the community. But yes, it is fun.
Let's talk a little bit about what these funds are raised for. We're talking about the Kindred Spirits Reunion Dance, which will be September the 7th at Ballroom at Bayou Place, starting at 7 and going to 11, so people have time to go over to Pearl Bar afterwards or the establishment of their choice. I know a lot of people, they're going to be anxious to get home and get to bed. Because because if they were like me and had ever been to the original Kindred Spirits, then they're of an age where 11 o'clock is looking pretty good. The programs that this helps fund are programs that are targeted to the women's community in Houston. So talk about what those are.
They benefit Assisters, LHI, and SPRI. All of these are groups that are focused to the community that the event was made for. It's basically going back to their community. Whether you're buying a table, whether you're bidding on the silent auction, all of those funds go right back into the community. So that's a good thing.
Well, I've been involved in all those programs. LHI is the Lesbian Health Initiative. That was created because they realized there were gaps in services, especially for lesbians, things like not getting mammograms, having a culturally competent providers. That's how that program got created and eventually was incorporated into Montrose Center. And then Assisters is one of the organizations that Tori Williams helped found. And it is a group of people who form care teams, and they provide services and companionship. And then SPRI, Seniors Preparing for Their Rainbow Years, it is a program that serves everyone in the community that is of an age, I think over 60 is what they target. Yeah. And I think it's wonderful that there's an event where people can gather, have a good time, and then know that what they're doing, like you say, a party with a purpose. How do people find out more?
The easiest way to do it is to go to the Montrose Center community calendar and go to September 7th. It'll lead to like a launching pad that goes towards the actual Give Lively page where you can purchase your tickets or your tables. It's very easy to use. But the easiest way is to go to the MontroseCenter.org website and go to the community calendar.
Is there anything that I didn't ask you about that you think that would be important for people to know?
The main thing is that we want people to come and enjoy themselves, be very welcome. Although the focus is lesbian women, everyone is invited to come. Young, old, we want everyone in the community to get together, get behind the idea of benefiting our lesbian community and women. This is mostly just a celebration of women, but anyone can come. It's for lesbians, but everybody can join in on the celebration of our sisters.
And men are welcome. Trans people are welcome. Yeah. People are welcome. Yeah. You identify in the alphabet. You can come and party and have a really fun time. So Taylor Mabry, thank you so much for being with us on Queer Voices.
I'm so glad to be here. And thank you for letting me come in and tell about the Kindred Spirits. I had a great time. It's going to be September 7th. That's a Saturday. That's the first Saturday in September from 7 to 11 at the Ballroom at Bayou Place.
Hi, this is Brett Cullum, and I have got your community calendar for September of 2024. Don't forget, on September 7th, 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., we are having the Kindred Spirits Dance. This is a huge one. It celebrates the old club that Marion Coleman used to own, Kindred Spirits, and it's always the biggest lesbian women party, and all of their friends and supporters. Yes, that's right. The entire LGBTQIA plus community is invited because Kindred Spirits really was for everyone. And you can dance the night away to your favorite songs from the 70s and the 80s. And there's these huge, elegant chandeliers and balconies overlooking downtown this year. It is going to be at the Ballroom at Bayou Place, which is right across from the Wortham Theater. So this one's going to be great. DJ Lotus Inferno is going to be spinning, and it's always one of the best dance parties of the year. So don't miss Kindred Spirits Dance September 7th. If you're looking for something A little bit different than that, we have the Houston Pup Weekend, which is going to be starting on September 13th at the Ripcord. The opening reception will start on that Friday at 6:30 there. They are going to have events, including lunches, various events culminating with the Pup of Montrose contest, which will be held Saturday, September 14th, 7 p.m. at the Ripcord. And of course, they're going to have a huge after party, which follows. Sunday the 15th, they are going to have a brunch and a drag show that starts at noon that day. And that is all going to be part of Pup Weekend. So you don't want to miss that one. All the tail wagging and all of the cool leather outfits at the Ripcord the weekend of September 13th. There is also a Harris County LGBTQIA+ Commission listening session. That is going to be at Trini Mendenhall Community Center on 1414 Work Road. This is going to be on Wednesday, September 18th at 7 p.m. This is going to be a chance for you to talk to an advisory group about what local government can do for our community. So definitely head to that, the Harris County LGBTQIA+ Commission listening session at the Trini Mendenhall Community Center. And also don't forget, coming up really fast on October 5th, Out for Good. This is LGBTQIA+ Houston's premier annual gala. It's going to start at 6 p.m. with a VIP reception. 7 p.m., the general doors will open. 7:30, dinner and a program. It's going to be held at the Marriott Marquis Houston on Walker Street. So plan for that. And this year, the theme is black and white. Have a great month. I will be talking to you very soon.
This is Deborah Moncrief Bell, and I'm talking with Terry Fuller Wainmeyer. Terry, along with his husband, Jamie, are two of the organizers of Galveston Pride. Galveston Pride is something that's taken place for a bit, and it's a bit different than what we do in Houston. There's no parade. But Terry, tell us what is on the agenda for Pride in Galveston later this month.
Our Friday, we are doing our opening night at the oldest gay bar in Texas, Robert Lafitte's. Our newly crowned Mr. and Mrs. Pride Galveston will be there that night opening for our glow party. So we'll be having that. And then the next day on Saturday, we do a beach day instead of a parade. We just kind of wanted to set ourselves apart and do something different. And something that was very child-friendly or kid-friendly for those people who have children and stuff and they want to come down and hang out for the day and experience Pride. So we do a beach day on East Beach. And then that night, we do another glow party at Robert Lafitte's. We have vendors at all of our events all during the week or all during the weekend. And then Friday, we do a pool party. We have live DJs. We have mini drag shows. We have vendors. We have all this type of stuff. So it's a very low-key beach-type, coastal-type pride, but we have a lot of fun.
And that starts on August 30th and goes through September 1. What is a glow party?
A glow party is basically like you wear anything that under black lights will glow and shine, or just even like even just plain white clothing will glow immensely underneath these lights. It's just a really fun party. We have lots of light up items that people are going to get as freebies there. A lot of fun music, drag show, DJs. It's going to be a good time.
Is there something new this year that hasn't been done in previous years?
So what we have done is we tested it out last year where we did our Pride pageant a week before our Pride weekend. And it took a little bit of pressure off of us. So that way, our Friday was a little bit more free to have another different type of theme party. So that's what we were able to do this year, was to take our Friday and kind of throw another theme party in there. So that way it's not the pageant setting that people have to sit there and watch this big, long people getting crowned and doing numbers and scoring and all that type of stuff. So we just kind of wanted to free up the weekend just to have little themed parties. So that way people can have a little bit more fun, let their hair down and have a good time.
How has Galveston embraced Pride?
It has taken a little bit because people in the past have tried to have Pride events down here and they didn't go over so well. So we really had to work very, very hard and made sure that everything we did showed that we were really putting Galveston first and putting our community and not just the gay community, but everybody around us in the same light, that we were here to do something positive and to be a part of the community and just to do it the right way this time. So it took a little bit, but I feel like we're finally getting to a good point where people are understanding our mission and what we're trying to do, and it's a good feeling.
since those early days, there has been kind of an expansion, and you do events throughout the year. What advice do you give to people that are coming out, and especially for the Beach Bash?
Especially for the Beach Bash, we just tell people, really get your knowledge up on going to the beach and what wildlife is there during those times. If there's sometimes there's jellyfish or sharks or all that type of stuff in the water. So you have to be very aware of your surroundings and just kind of do your research and make sure you know what's going on around that time. Also, bring lots of water. Water is always very important to stay hydrated, especially when it gets hot outside and you're out in the sun all day long. We do supply free water all day long for everybody and food. Just making sure that you're packing up for the day and making sure that you have everything you possibly need and that you're just being very aware of your surroundings. And that's why we picked East Beach, because there's a lot of security. There's a lot of people who work there that also take part in making sure that all of us are safe.
And of course, the logical thing is to also make sure you have your sun protection, a hat, sunscreen, shades.
Animals are welcome at the beach. Galveston is very animal friendly. People do bring their animals. I would say if your animal is not used to being out that long, I would probably leave them at home. But if you have a pet that you usually take out and are used to being out during those days, if not, we're very close to the pavilion that has like showers and stuff. So there is a place to take your animals so they can cool down, get a nice drink of water. And again, our Galveston setup for Pride Galveston, we have ice water. We have everything that we would possibly need just in case those situations do arise, just to make sure that our people and their pets are taken care of.
Tell me a little bit more about the pageant. I think most of us are familiar with drag shows, but a pageant is a little different. So explain what takes place in that process.
A pageant is every year, and it's not just for drag entertainers. Anybody is allowed to enter our Mr. and Mrs. Pride Galveston pageant, whether they are straight, transgender, gay, bi, whatever you identify as. Anybody is allowed to enter as long as they adhere to the rules that we have. So basically, what you're doing is you have like a show that's within the pageant, and then you have contestants that enter vying for the title of Mr. or Mrs. Pride. And we have categories that they have to abide by. We have presentation, which is usually pride theme. So they come out in whatever they're choosing of what pride is to them and their outfit. And so they get to be very creative with that. They have a talent category where they come out and they do a talent, and that can be anything. They do a question and answer on stage where the judges, we ask them questions very randomly. So they have to think on their toes. And that's basically what the pageant is. And at the end, we do our scoring. All the categories are scored. And at the end of the night, whoever has scored the highest are the ones that win.
And who judges?
We have different judges every year. We usually pick people who are very familiar in the pageantry world, but we also like to throw in some curveballs just to kind of mix it up. Anybody can be a judge as long as they get in contact with us ahead of time and we get that all together.
And there is merch. There's a wonderful logo that it is a rainbow with different colored palm trees, really invoking that Galveston vibe. What are you most excited about for this year?
Not that I'm looking forward to something specific. I love the interaction with either people that have come over the years or just the new people that come or that didn't even know about Pride Galveston. And they come down and I just get to see them be freely in a space where they don't have to worry about being themselves. And I think being able to sit back and watch that, and it's, you know, it's not just the gay community. I see other people come down and they just get so enveloped in the atmosphere and just have such a good time. And it's so heartwarming to see people just thrive in a safe place where they don't have to worry about anything. And you can just see them be their authentic self. And for me, that's what I look forward to every year. I know my husband does as well. That's something that was one of our missions with creating Pride, is to create a safe place for anybody to come and be themselves.
What type of vendors will be there?
We have all types of vendors. We have leather making vendors. We have food vendors. We have people that do like their own type of merch that they bring. We do have Pride vendors that come and bring down Pride swag. It's always every year, it's a different kind of mix of different people.
Are there organizations that work on behalf of the community that are there representing?
Yes, we do get lots of the local churches involved. They are even all the way from Katy. We do get a lot of the local businesses that are starting to get on board with us, which is really, really nice, like coffee shops, clothing stores. As the years are progressing and people are seeing our mission and everything like that, we're starting to get a lot more of our community involved. So it's really nice to see.
I'm talking with Terry Fuller Waymeyer, one of the organizers for Pride Galveston. For 2024, that's August 30th, 31st, and September 1, with a variety of events. How can people find out more information?
People can go on our website, www.pridegalveston.org, or they can go to our Facebook page, Pride Galveston, as well. Those are the two main sources to really just see where we post all the time. And they can see our mission. If they would want to be a sponsor, we have a whole sponsor section. We have a listing of all of our events, past Mr. and Mrs. Prides. We have everything on there that they could possibly want to see, and just everything that's going to be coming up this year.
I found it through pridegalveston.com.
You can do either or, pridegalveston.org.
So is there anything that I didn't ask you about that you want people to know?
I just really want, especially just local businesses, we are always looking for businesses or people to become sponsors, get more involved in our community, especially with all the events that we do throughout the year. We do a lot of stuff for the Humane Society, breast cancer, all that type of stuff. We're always looking for new ways and outlets to improve and be better and get more involved in the community ourselves, or to have more people get involved with us, and just really just following us and making sure that everybody is hearing our message and that we're not singling anybody out. Everybody is welcome, and that we embrace everybody. We accept that everybody is different, and we really just highlight that all the time. So those are the things that we really just want to highlight. Like getting more people involved, businesses, sponsors, and then just so people know to come down and just have a good time with them.
This is Queer Voices.
This is Brett Cullum, and today I am joined by a superstar, a legend, and an icon, the one we are all living for, Sherry Vine. She's got a new season of her variety show on Out TV. She has two new music videos called Showgirl and Pink. And we're going to catch up with her and find out more. So welcome to Queer Voices, Sherry Vine.
Hi, thank you. How are you?
I am good. I'm better now that I'm with you, of course, always.
Oh.
But I wanted to start kind of at the beginning here. Uh-oh. I know that you started drag just a little bit before RuPaul's Drag Race became a thing. Back when drag was actually punk, it was rebellious. It was like... something that you did underground and you kept it a secret. And we never told anybody. So what made you want to start this art form?
Gosh, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's so many. When I look back now, I can be like, oh, like on Halloween, dressing up. I was always the lady. But it wasn't until I was in college and I had to do this project. I was working with Anna Deavere Smith, who's an amazing actress and director. And she was our guest professor, and we had to do this project, and I picked spending time with this real drag queen in LA named Erica, and then kind of presented her on stage, and I felt this connection. I was like, oh, this is really cool and fun. And it was really about the costume and the mask, the makeup being like a mask, and just kind of allowing a freedom. And Anna actually pulled me aside and she's like, you know, you should explore that. And I told a friend of mine who was living in New York about this. And he's like, I'm writing a play and you need to come here and play the mother. And I'm like, okay. And it snowballed from there.
How did Sherry Vine come about? Like the name, the actual moniker that you used?
Well, I have no idea where Sherry came from. I just remember my roommate at the time was I was just starting performing in drag, and he did the wig, he did the makeup, he styled me, he did everything. I did nothing. And I just looked in the mirror, I was like, oh, she looked like a Sherry. I don't know why. I don't know where it came. I was just like, had this little voice of like, Sherry, you know, she's the broken down showgirl, which I could not sustain doing that voice for 34 years, but in the beginning, I was always in the character, in the voice. And then the Vine came from, there's a building on Vine Street just above Hollywood Boulevard called the Sherry. And it literally looked like a whorehouse. And I was like, oh my God, that's perfect. Sherry Vine.
Oh, completely. Now, you come from this seminal group. It includes you, Jackie Beat, Joey Arias, Lady Bunny, Taboo. I mean, Lee Bowery. How did that scene emerge? How did you all hook up in New York?
Well, it's funny. I mean, I love every single name you mentioned, but when I moved to New York and started in 92, Joey, Bunny, Taboo, they were already like established, like they were the queens. And I really looked up to them, especially like Joey. I mean, I had seen Mondo New York and I was obsessed with Joey before I even met her. I knew who Bunny was, of course, and then Taboo and Sister Dimension, Billy Beyond, you know, all these queens that were already super established of the scene when I moved there. And I think like 92 was kind of like the birth of me, Shaquita, Sweetie, Petta Lettuce. Jackie was a little bit earlier, Varla Jean Merman. So the Mistress from Micah. So there's all these queens were kind of like this new renaissance, like the early 90s in New York.
I remember it vividly. So when you talk about this character and you kind of alluded to broken down showgirl, Sherry Vine and all of that, what informs her? Like, what is the DNA that you hope to capture? When I come to a Sherry Vine show, what are you hoping that I see? And also, I love that you have a Joey Heatherton quote on your site, but
I mean, all my references are so dated that it was like anyone young would be like, who's Joey Heatherton? Yeah, I would hope what I want now more than ever with everything going on in the world is for people to come see my show, whether they know me or not, and leave saying, oh my God, I laughed so hard for an hour. I forgot about what is going on in the world and in my life. And I always put a disclaimer on that saying, I'm not trying to suggest that we should not be aware of what's going on in the world. I am very aware. The first thing I do in the morning is read the paper. I know what's going on all over the world. I'm very involved, but I don't put that on stage in my show because I want my show to be escapism, silly, stupid, you're allowed to laugh in spite of everything that's going on.
Well, I think one of the things that you're known for too is doing parodies. I mean, you've
yes.
developed this whole thing around it. I mean, your YouTube channel blew up. There's like over 20 million views of these songs that you've done by like Madonna and Lady Gaga. And one of my personal favorites, Whole Clean instead of Jolene. When did you realize that you were good at making a gag and making a funny lyric? I know you and Jackie both kind of created that in a weird way, and Bunny.
That comes from high school. Like, I certainly would never take credit for it. I mean, obviously, Weird Al Yankovic and all, but at the time, I don't know any other drag queens that were doing parodies. But I started in high school, so way before the concept of drag getting into my mind, I would write parodies of all the musicals that we were doing in high school and share it with my friends. And they were just like, you are so dumb. So I've been doing that since high school. So it was just kind of like the logical path I would take when I started performing in drag. And even before drag, I had this little group. It was a duo, me and Robbie Daniels, and we were called Skinny Boys because we were both so tall and skinny. And we did parodies. So before we were even doing real drag, sometimes we would throw on a wig or not, whatever, but we had parodies of all the hit songs of 1990. And then when I started Sherry Vine, that it was just kind of like, oh, this is what I will do.
They're amazing. I mean, I really love them. And you've kind of transitioned out of bars and spaces like that. Now you've had a couple of TV shows. I mean, it started with kind of the She's Living for This. That came on every episode of that. And now you've got a variety show on Out TV, literally called The Sherry Vine Show. How could you get less descriptive than that? So how did you make that leap? What was that? How did you become the TV mogul that you are?
Mogul. I love it. Well, She's Living for This happened because Josh Rosenzweig, who literally directed the very first thing I ever did on stage in drag, and then he was the director of our theater company, Theater Couture, in New York in the 90s. He was working for Here TV, and he is the one who got that. So all of that happened because of Josh. And it was a great opportunity. We had so much fun doing that. And then I really was trying to push the Sherry Vine Variety Show. And through PEG, which is the talent represent company that represent a lot of the queens. And I was on the phone with Jacob one day, and he was like, oh, this would be so much easier to sell if you were in LA. And I was like, okay, click, I'm moving to LA. And everyone's like, yeah, right. And I did. And it got here, and he made that show happen. And so now the Sherry Vine Variety Show, season 3, out TV. It's literally my dream project come to life.
It's so funny. I mean, it really kind of, it takes off of a lot of skits and commercial parodies. I recognize a lot of faces on every episode. I'm always like, oh my gosh, how did you get them to get on this show?
I say that too. How did I get them?
It's a great concept. What kind of inspired you to create this variety show?
Well, I mean, I grew up watching the variety shows of the 70s, and Carol Burnett was my biggest inspiration. And it encapsulates everything that I love. I get to do musical numbers, commercial parodies, sketches, being so stupid with people that I love. And we just have so much fun. I mean, I can tell by the people that work on the show behind the cameras when we finish, they're just like, I've never had that much fun filming anything or working on anything. And I'm like, oh my God, that's the best compliment ever.
It really is funny. I mean, I really enjoy it. But it's interesting that now drag just seems to be everywhere. I mean, it's kind of surrounded us. And there's almost this overload of like, you know, we've got this one and we've got that one and we've got this and we've got this pageant. You go to a brunch and like all these men in dresses pop up and, you know, bring you your omelet. Do you feel like some of the teeth have been filed down? Can drag be dangerous anymore? Is there any?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And Jackie and I talk about this all the time. I mean, I reference Jackie. I mentioned Jackie a lot because, I mean, we work together so much and we're literally probably the closest in terms of what we do than anyone else that I know. We say all the time, we're like, okay, if people feel like drag has been homogenized or watered down or it's everywhere, it's so mainstream, well, my job is to keep it cutting edge, if you will. I don't know if it's cutting edge anymore, like you said, but I've been doing these parodies for 34 years in drag, and it hasn't changed. I'm not going to all of a sudden start singing about the beautiful smell of jasmine in the air. I mean, that's not what I do. My song's about poop and penis, and that hasn't changed, and that's not going to change. And luckily, Out TV is like, go with it, whatever you want. And like you just said, like Whole Clean, my parody of Jolene, which is brand new. It's so stupid. When I was writing it, I was like, this might be a flop because it's just so dumb. But people, like, I just did a tour opening for Bianca for 2 months, and people were cackling. They just were laughing. So I was like, okay, people still want stupid. So that's my job. My job is to keep it entertaining and fresh, even if the theme is not fresh.
I live in Texas, and we've had rumblings of a drag ban, just like Tennessee and a lot of the other more conservative states.
Right.
Why do you think that this has become a political platform? I mean, it's like, I feel like they just discovered drag. I mean, what?
No, it's because they don't, honey, they don't have anything else. They can't focus on anything real. So instead of addressing the problem with shooting and killing kids in schools, they're going to divert all the attention to drag. Drag. I mean, we'll say that the Republicans are brilliant at is the art of spin. Like, they will take nothing and just spin it into something. And the Democrats are terrible at that. But it was just a diversion. And it was like when Bush was running for president and made everything about the dangers of gay marriage. It's like, you know, special rights. It's like, it's not special rights. It's equal rights. There's nothing special about it. But they were able to label it that and spin it that way, and it worked. So that's what I feel with this whole thing about drag. It's nothing to do with drag. It's all to do with diversion. Let's talk about this that we don't have to talk about something real.
I wanted to talk to you about the state of Sherry Vine now and going forward. What do you want? What do you feel like your career will look like?
Well, it's funny. I have so many things that I still want to do. I would love, love, love to do more TV and more film. I really miss doing theater. Like, I haven't done a proper play in so long that I really would like to try and do something like The Three Sisters with drag queens or Hedda Gabler, like something really theatrical. So those are kind of things that are on my plate that I'm going to try and make happen.
Okay, so if you were going to give advice to somebody, never done drag, they want to start, what would be the groundwork or the foundation according to Sherry Vine?
Take care of your knees.
Gosh.
Oh my God, I've been wearing stiletto. I mean, I only wear stilettos. I refuse to wear anything other than a pointy 5 or 6 inch heel. But now the payback has begun. Like, everything hurts. And so if I could go back in a time capsule, I mean, I took really good care of myself, I think. But in the 90s, I probably would have been a little bit more aware of what I'm doing to my knees and my feet, because I'm literally paying for it now. But no, I think the advice I would give, the advice I do give when I'm asked this about young baby queens, it's like, don't be afraid to fail, like try different things, but find what you are great at and exploit that, like really focus on that. Don't try to be like, well, I need to be funny, mean to people like Don Rick because of Bianca, or I need to be weird in a way, like a lot. Like, don't try to be someone else. Be you. Find what you're good at and that you love doing, and do it.
It's funny because I have the same conversation with actors, and we always talk about that, about the sense of self. Once you are cemented into who you are and you can bring that to the stage, then you're finally where you need to be. And then maybe you can have your own variety show, like the Sherry Vine show.
Yeah. I had a great learning experience when I was performing at this big HX Homo Extra, this magazine that was a zine in New York City, this big party that they were doing, and it was packed. And it was at the Chelsea Cinema. And I did this whole number with four dancers and me that wasn't comedy. It was just like a cover of Madonna's Burning Up. And I remember they introduced me and people got really excited, and then they were really disappointed. And that was because they were waiting for me to be funny or to make them laugh. And maybe my singing didn't do it. But it just was a lesson of like, oh, right. So now, I mean, if I do an hour show, I can put in a song or two that's not comedy because it's bracketed by songs that are. But to come out and be like, okay, if you're going to present yourself, if you're the comedy queen, and then come out and not do that and not deliver, then people were disappointed. So that was like a really good lesson.
Well, you are kind of a fashion queen in a weird way. You've got the Project Runway under your belt. So there you go.
Wet bird. If your look is wet bird, then talk to me.
Exactly. So
wet
you've got
chicken. That was it. A wet chicken. Michael Kors. She looks like a wet chicken.
Hey, that's a compliment coming from him. But you've got two new music videos that are hitting. One of them is called Showgirl, which I've seen. Super fun. not as like, it's not really a parody though. It's kind of an ode to who you are.
Listen, Out TV from the beginning was like, no parodies. They're not even going to touch. I was like, well, legally we can do these sound like tracks. And they're like, no, no, no. So we knew that the musical numbers had to be original. So this was an amazing push me out of my box. And Mark Hollick, who's done all 15 songs, is a genius. And Showgirl, I was like, I really want to do something burlesque-y, vaudeville, like a Las Vegas Showgirl song, which goes back to the original seed of Sherry Vine, like this ex-Las Vegas, tattered, broken down kind of showgirl. And I love this song so much. It's literally going to open my new show next year around the world. It's like, I'm a showgirl.
And here we are, full circle, back to Joey Heatherton. Yeah. What is happening?
Full Joey circle.
Okay, so you've got season 3 on Al TV of the Sherry Vine Show. You've got new music videos, including Showgirl and Pink. And you've got appearances around the country and things like the Golden Girls parodies, where you get to play Blanche, which, I mean, come on, every guy's dream role, every gay guy's dream role right there.
When people are like, who do you play in the Golden Girls? I'm like, who do you think? I'm always just like, honey. So yes, the Golden Girls, we're doing it in LA at the end of this month. We do it every August and January in LA, and now every June in New York City. And it just brings me joy.
It's amazing. I'm dying to see it because you and Jackie and everybody, who else is in it? I think
Sam Pancake is Sophia and Kelly Mantle is playing Rose, which she has done this whole year. Kelly Mantle has stepped in for Drew to play Rose, and she's hilarious.
I think Kelly Mantle just runs around being Rose anyway, so it's not like a stretch. I'm
obsessed with Kelly Mantle. I can't talk enough about Kelly. Like, I'm like, how did we not know each other in another time? Because she's everything to me. She makes me laugh. She's so cool. She's so smart. She's so cool. I just adore her. And she's in episode 5. We do a Kill Bill parody where the entire episode just kind of like, we leave the variety show format. We do the entire Kill Bill movie in 22 minutes. And Kelly's in it. Bianca, Jackie, of course, Joe Lopez, Peppermint. It's I'm most proud of that episode, maybe more than anything we've ever done, because I'm just like, it's literally a short film.
Well, tell me about season 3. Who else is going to be in it? Because you just mentioned a whole onslaught of names, and I know there's a ton of people there.
Well, episode 1 just came out. It has Latrice Royale, Alaska, Monet Exchange. Monet is in actually every episode, as is Jackie. The song is I'm a Showgirl. We've got parodies of The Exorcist, Goop commercial parody. The Lady Cops is back. The Lady Cops was like a fan favorite from season 2. So that's back. That's just episode 1. And then we've got Nina West, Ben de la Creme, so many amazing queens. Bianca's in several episodes. Yeah, it kind of blows my mind when I'm like, how did we get these queens?
It's so fun to watch because they pop up and you just go, oh, that one? Oh, okay. Yeah. They're going to play.
Laganja is in it. Laganja killed. She's so funny.
All right. Well, obviously, Out TV, the Sherry Vine Show. I'm excited. Yeah. And of course, you tour all the time too. So I'll be watching for you and all of that and your solo shows and all of that as well. So
yeah,
it'd be all amazing.
If people follow me on Instagram, Miss Sherry Vine, you can see where I'll be because I'm always some touring. And you can see the music videos every week on YouTube and then the show, of course, on Out TV.
And of course, there's sherryvine.com where you can get all of this fabulous merch.
Oh, yeah.
T-shirts, mugs, whatever.
It has links to everything and all that. So if you're confused about where to watch the show, go to sherryvine.com because that has links and places to watch it wherever you are in the world.
Well, I will definitely be one of those watchers. So thank you so much. I'm so excited to have talked to Sherry Vine.
honey, and I'll see you the next time I'm in Houston. I was just there.
Were you?
I opened for Bianca.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I'll be back.
Yeah, give me warning next time.
I'm Elena Botkin-Levy.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 24th, 2024. A lesbian co-mother got to see her 7-year-old daughter for the first time in 5 years, thanks to a historic court ruling in Beijing. The visitation rights case marks the first time a court in China has acknowledged that a child can have two legal mothers. It might have been a heartwarming story, but now the other mother is vowing to block any future visits, and the fate of the couple's son remains unresolved. Zheng Peiyi married her wife in a U.S. ceremony in 2016. Using her wife's eggs and donor sperm, embryos that were therefore genetically linked only to Zheng's wife were implanted in both women. In 2017, Zheng gave birth to a girl, and her wife gave birth to a boy. When the couple separated 2 years later, Zheng's wife took both children and refused to let her see them. Zheng sued her estranged wife in 2020 in China's first custody battle involving a same-gender couple. This week's ruling grants Zheng monthly visits with her daughter, but not her son. Even though she's not genetically related to either child, the court recognized the fact that Zheng birthed the girl. Attorney Gao Mingye thinks the issue is bound to confound Chinese courts until there's some sort of legal recognition for same-gender couples. Zheng told the Associated Press that she sat quietly with her estranged wife and their daughter for her first 4-hour visit. The masked girl glanced up at Zheng from her homework a few times. Zheng's ex now wants to stop the visitations on the grounds that Zheng is violating the children's privacy.
Hundreds of people marched with LGBTQ pride through the streets of Kathmandu on August 20th. The annual event coincides with Nepal's Festival of Gai Jatra, a memorial for people who have died during the past year. The Blue Diamond Society sponsors the parade. Leader Pinky Gurung told the Kathmandu Post, "In Gai Jatra, men dress as women in brocade crimson blouses and saris, so in a way, Gai Jatra has always embodied and embraced the LGBTQIA+ community." Activists have also been using the Gai Jatra Festival to honor queer people whose families refused to perform traditional funeral rites. Gurung explained, "This parade represents the commemoration of our deceased community members, so their souls can rest in peace."
HIV-positive people will no longer be prevented from enlisting in the U.S. military. Judge Leonie M. Brinkema of the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Virginia finally eliminated one of the country's lingering remnants of HIV-AIDS discrimination. Brinkema wrote in her August 20th decision, "The Pentagon's policies prohibiting the accession of asymptomatic HIV-positive individuals with undetectable viral loads into the military are irrational, arbitrary, and capricious." Brinkema had declared the military's discrimination against current service members with HIV unconstitutional in 2022. That left pending 3 lawsuits against the Pentagon by 3 prospective enlistees with HIV. The queer advocacy group Lambda Legal sued on their behalf. In extending her earlier ruling to people with HIV who want to enlist, Brinkema concluded that the ban was actively hampering the military's own recruitment goals.
Houston, Texas transgender sheriff's deputy Anna Lang will be in court again defending her right to insurance coverage for her now completed gender-affirming surgery. A 3-judge panel of the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals had upheld a U.S. District Court ruling in 2022 that Houston County had violated Lang's civil rights when it denied the surgery under its employee health plan. Lang underwent the $10,000 procedure later that year. Houston County has nevertheless spent far more than that, continuing to contest that ruling. They argue that the health plan was not being discriminatory because it excludes coverage for sex change surgeries for anyone, no matter their sex or gender identity. A majority of the full 12-judge 11th Circuit Court bought that argument and ordered a new trial this week. A date is to be determined. With 6 of its 12 judges appointed by Donald Trump, the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals is one of the most conservative in the country.
rights activists are warning Texas trans people to not even try to change their government documents, at least for the time being. Give credit to State Attorney General Ken Paxton, who has ordered the Department of Public Safety to flatly deny all applications to change driver's license or state ID gender markers. Only corrections to provable clerical errors are allowed. Until this week, a court order or an amended birth certificate have been enough to authorize the gender marker change. Under Paxton's new directive, that won't matter. Anyone who asks to change their gender marker now will instead be added to a database for state Republican lawmakers, according to Austin Public Radio Station KUT. It's not clear why or how that clearly personal information might be used.
The state of Florida is virtually telling queer tourists to go where the sun don't shine. Visit Florida's website used to promote pride events, the state's top 10 gay beaches, and other queer-friendly destinations for LGBTQ travelers. But those pages have been removed. The link that once led to that information now directs to a generic Things to Do page. Similar pages for Black, Hispanic, and other minority visitors are still there. In a way, Equality Florida actually beat the state to it. Because of the hostile environment for LGBTQ people created by Governor Ron DeSantis and his Republican cronies in the legislature and state agencies, the queer advocacy group issued a travel advisory last year. Finally, one half of arguably the world's most famous queer penguin couple has died. With life partner Magic, Sven made headlines around the world when they first nurtured an abandoned egg at the Sydney, Australia-based Sea Life Aquarium. Fans nicknamed their healthy chick Svengik, but her real name is Lara. Sven and Magic's second chick is Clancy. The couple was even honored with a float at the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. The aquarium announced Sven's death of natural causes on the eve of his 12th birthday earlier this month. Aquarium staff brought his partner of 6 years to see his body so that he could understand that Sven was gone. They said that nearly 9-year-old Magic soon began singing, with the entire Gentoo penguin colony joining him. Penguin keeper Renee Howell told The Guardian that the species typically bows or sings to one another during courtship, but that they had never witnessed behavior like that after a penguin's death. She said, "In that moment for us, it was a beautiful send-off."
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending August 24th, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Elena Botkin-Levy. Stay healthy.
And I'm John Dyer V. Stay safe.
This has been Queer Voices, which is now a home-produced podcast and available from several podcasting sources. Check our webpage, queervoices.org, for more information. Queer Voices executive producer is Brian Levinka. Andrew Edmondson and Deborah Moncrief Bell are frequent contributors. The News Wrap segment is part of another podcast called This Way Out, which is produced in Los Angeles.
Some of the material in this program has been edited to improve clarity and runtime. This program does not endorse any political views or animal species. Views, opinions, and endorsements are those of the participants and the organizations they represent. In case of death, please discontinue use and discard remaining products.
For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
Hello, KPFT listeners. This is Interim General Manager Sandy Weinman saying thank you on behalf of all of us at KPFT for stepping up and supporting community radio. We made our goal on a summer cruise fund drive, and we won't come back until the month of October to tank up again. We look forward to continuing our programming. If you have any comments or suggestions for the station, you can email me at gm@kpft.org. Thanks very much for listening and for supporting community radio, KPFT. Houston.
This is your KPFT meeting calendar for September and October 2024. On Tuesday, September 3rd, KPFT Development and Outreach Committee is having a meeting at 6 p.m. Wednesday, September 11th, KPFT Local Station Board is having a meeting at 7 p.m. Monday, September 16th, Management Selection and Review Meeting is at 6 p.m. Tuesday, October 1st, KPFT Development and Outreach Committee is having a meeting at 6 p.m. And Wednesday, October 9th, Local Station Board Meeting at 8 p.m. Thank you for listening to 90.1 KPFT.
KPFT Programmer Profile.
Hey, this is Steve Gallington of the People's News. What we do is we focus on local news and international news that is of interest to the community. And we're always looking for that next story. If you have a story, bring it to us and let us know, because this is your program. The People's News belongs to the people, and we want to hear from you. And you're listening to